Welcome to show number 115 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. What is happening, everybody? Hopefully you guys are all doing well out there. We're into the month of December. It's a month of like holidays and giving and receiving. And it's also one of those months where you kind of look back and forward at the same time, because you're closing out on a year. We're closing out on 2012 here. And we're coming up on 2013. So it's like one of those months where we're looking forward to the year to come, maybe setting some new goals and things of that nature. And we're looking back on 2013 saying, hey, was it a good year, crappy year, or whatever, an indifferent maybe year. So I just think it's kind of interesting. Maybe we'll take some time today on the show to do that kind of with cards a little bit. And what I want to do is actually go back to show number 89. From last year's, right around in January, I made some New Year's resolutions right in January like 20th or something. Show number 89, it was last year, 2012, or earlier this year. But we were making New Year's resolutions for the future, for 2012. And so I'll come back through and see if any of them came true, see if there was any progress made in there. And then probably on a future show, I'll make a few myself. We won't make today that. We're really looking back today. Like I said, December's one of those months where you kind of look back. And then we'll look forward in a future podcast where we'll say, hey, for 2013, this is the kind of stuff we want to see. Also, what we're going to talk about today is really just some release dates. I've been like literally trying to keep up on this the last couple days. They've been moving around here. I think with the holidays, people either want to get their product out before the Christmas, and if it doesn't work out then they just push it back. So there's been some movement and stuff like that. So we'll talk about that. And that's probably about it. I might talk about a few other things at the end, but who knows what we'll talk about. Anyways, let's get right into release dates. Actually, now that we're only 2 minutes in, I'm not going to bore you to death with any personal stories or anything like that, but I quickly wanted to just give a shout out to everybody on the East Coast, everybody that had been affected the last couple weeks and month with the hurricanes and floods and stuff like that. I know that we probably have listeners out there that have been affected or have had family affected. Just want to let you know we've been thinking about you out here on the West Coast, not just me. We hope everything's good. We hope you guys, you know, if you lost some possessions, hopefully that's the worst of the things that could have happened to you. So hopefully everything gets rebuilt and you guys can get things back going if you really were affected a big time by that. But I just wanted to point out that out here on California, it's not like we're sitting out on the beach all day. We're definitely thinking about people that are struggling and the hurricanes and the floods definitely doesn't look like a fun time. So hopefully everything's good. Let's take our minds off that and let's just focus on cards for probably the next maybe 20 or 30 minutes here. Panini Classic Signatures Hockey just came out. That's an interesting set. I think it's like a Classic Signatures Hockey. Yeah, it's kind of a new brand or a new set. I know they have the Classics brand that they've used in Panini that they've kind of put in the doo-doo bin, I guess. But Classic Signatures maybe is a new way to bring it back in hockey. UFC Bloodlines, for those of fans of the UFC, I think there's a fight this week on Fox or something like that. So there's a UFC set just in time, UFC Bloodlines. Upper Deck Black Diamond Hockey. I haven't really seen any. This is one of those interesting sets where I really didn't see any promo photos, but got a huge checklist for it. So I thought that was kind of interesting. We'll see might be a good marketing strategy. Just give the checklist first and then let the photos come later. So there are some difficulties there. We'll talk about it. That's an interesting way that Upper Deck tends to do that a lot. They don't put out a lot of photos. They'll give you the checklist and then the photos come when the cards hit eBay. So I think that's kind of an interesting tactic. Absolute Memorabilia Football. This is bouncing around like a basketball, but it looks like it's coming out on the 12th of, don't quote me on that one either, December. Actually, it looks like that's Absolute Memorabilia Basketball. Absolute Memorabilia Football comes out on the 14th. So does Limited Basketball. I know there was a mistake there. There might be some other little errors in here because I was getting emails and then the next day they were different. So I don't know really what's going on with these release dates, but I do know the 19th, we got Bowman Sterling Baseball and Bowman Sterling Football. So I thought that was interesting. You get like double branded in the same month. So the 19th should be the baseball and the 28th, a couple days after Christmas for the football. The day after, well, what I thought was interesting is earlier in the month, it looked like Panini and these companies kind of had It's stacked, release date stacked around the 12th, like maybe a week or two before Christmas. People might be finalizing their Christmas purchases, which I think kind of a good strategy. And then it's right after Christmas. You see Panini put out like five sets, or at least they have five sets planned. I bet some of it gets moved back on the 26th. The day after Christmas, you have Timeless Treasures basketball. UD Black football was planned early in the month. Looks like it's the day after Christmas now. Crown Royale football, I'm not really sure what's going on here. It looks like there's a retail version and a hobby version. I'm not exactly sure if they both go live at the same time. We'll find out, I guess. Limited hockey and limited football, another double brand, is hit scheduled for the 26th, but I bet one of those gets pushed back because UD Black football got pushed back. I don't see Panini, although they've done it in the past where they've released two sports on the same day. I really don't think that's a good idea. That's really a bad idea, not just for customers, not just because we're in tough times. I mean, we got floods and we got, you know, already people without jobs and stuff. It's not like the economy is roaring back and people have money that just pouring out of their pockets. So dumping money into two products, three products all in 1 week is tough for a consumer, but a hobby shop owner too, he's got rent, he's got credit card processing, he's got maybe a TV bill, he's got maybe employees, he's got alarm, he's got insurance, he's got all kinds of stuff that he's got to pay. And not to mention if he's got a not before he even gets any inventory. I mean, you're running four figures deep before you hit any inventory in a business. So, you know, if you got to order a case of limited football, black football, Timeless Treasures basketball, all of a sudden the sales better start pouring in. So hopefully, I kind of like that they spread these release dates around in the end, but they sure do wait till the last minute to kind of tell you that a product's going to be pushed back. So I do feel for hobby store owners out there because they're the ones at the end and like box breakers and people online, however you're trying to sell a new unopened product. If you promise a box break on the 28th, you know, everything you see for a year says the product's going to come out on the 28th. And then on the 20th, you find out that it's actually going to come out next month. So that kind of stuff happens a lot. And I could see how frustrating it definitely could be. So that probably is going to be on our New Year's resolutions. I think I don't have it on last year's, but definitely more tightening up of the release dates and better communication with the people that are the end sellers because they're the ones that are having to sell this. So I feel for the people when these get moved around. Not only were you probably counting on that income as well, and may have already bought the case and forked over the money for it. You know, it's just really tough trying to budget your money around new unopened product when it gets moved around so much. So hopefully, maybe in 2013, the distribution channels will start to mellow out. We'll see if that happens. But anyways, let's move right along. That might be another one segment podcast like we've been doing in the past. Let's move right into last year's show number 89. You can go to our website, sportscardradio.com, and hit the show archive or sports card podcast at the top menu. And scroll down to show number 89. And we did five or six of them. More creative packaging was my number one. I was probably a little easy on that. I might be a little harsher on them this year. So more creative packaging. I don't know if I've never necessarily see a lot of creative packaging. I noticed that the blaster boxes got smaller. That's I thought that was a good idea. I mean, you're eliminating the blaster boxes were always too big, and so now they're about the size of the pack. Sure, you run the risk of the pack corners getting damaged, but if they package the cards up well enough, you shouldn't have to run into too many problems there. So I noticed that kind of packaging. I see different kind of packaging at retail. You see the hanger packs and you see the blaster boxes. There's sometimes the value boxes. Then they have the regular packs. We're missing that still on a consistent basis and consistently in all other sports. Baseball, maybe not as much. Topps sometimes does jumbo boxes for a few products, Bowman and Topps 1, 2, and Update and stuff like that. So you see it enough, I think, at the hobby level. But does Panini ever have a jumbo box for basketball? Does it happen? Does it happen for football? We really don't see it. And I don't think the companies experiment enough with different kind of packaging. I mean, all you got to do is repackage the product a different way and sell it again. I mean, it happens all the time. I mean, you see those infomercials on TV where you buy this product and we'll throw you in this other product for free that used to sell on an infomercial. And since it's not selling through anymore, we'll throw it in for free, but we're still charging you processing and probably doubling our money on it. So, do the same thing with cards. Just repackage it. But at the hobby level, I mean, forget Target and Walmart. I mean, this is not the O'Leary hour or whatever. But one of those companies is definitely going out of business. They're not going to be able to survive together. My guess is Target will survive because they have the credit card. And I think that's the only way they survive is by the power of their red card and the money they make from that revenue stream. But Walmart's going to go out of business. So forget about them. I mean, they're not going to go out of business next year or 2 years from now or maybe even 5 years from now. But they're going out of business. That business model doesn't work. So we'll see what happens there. But I would get back to the hobby level. My point is forget about Walmart and Target. These guys are nothing. Get back to the hobby level and more creative packaging. We've seen it with Black Friday promotions with Panini. I mean, that's a version of more creative packaging. Instead of giving those cards away in the packs or giving them away in box loader or something, like, they're just giving them away with another purchase in a store. So that's a version of more creative packaging, but we need to see it more. We need to see when a product comes out, it's not just 24 packs, 5 cards per pack. Oh, there's this special limited edition rack box with this special Kobe Bryant wristband in it or whatever. I mean, I would take advantage of some of these marketing opportunities that they can do. Still not doing it enough. So year later, still scratching my head there. Number two, better use of PlayerWare. Now, I will say, I don't know if I can say, wow, the companies did a great job using PlayerWare, but I did see some I will bring up one specific case. Tops, I thought, did a good job. I think they did it with some of their other sets too, where they, like in Inception is the set I'm thinking the most of because that's the one that pops off my head, where you had the on-card autograph rookies for the most part, and then anything that had a jersey piece on it was typically had a sticker. And so I thought, you know, it would be cool to have the player-worn jersey and the on-card autograph. Yeah, that's a pretty nice card. But if you're going to have to use stickers, they added a little bit. I mean, and PlayerWorn kind of sucks in my opinion too. And that's kind of the subject we're on here anyways. That just getting a card with a PlayerWorn on it is not that special. But adding his autograph, if you can't get him to sign on card, put the sticker on there. And it was a nice mix of use. So I think doing that, I think not only Topps, but all the companies could do that a little bit more. Mix in a couple on card, even if it's only a couple, even if we only get 25 of them or 100 of them or whatever it is, or even if it's only really the crappy players. If you have to, you know, put Andrew Luck on a sticker, you got to do it. But I think we'd rather pull one on a sticker than not. But I think mixing in player worn with a sticker autograph is not a bad trade-off if you can have some on-card autographs. So I think maybe you get what I'm saying there. But I still think the companies could progress a little bit more with this player-worn stuff. I would just try to weed it out. We don't necessarily need a whole lot of it. I would try to just have the patches. I don't know if we need a ton of like one color player worn stuff in the hobby floating around. Just long term, I don't think it's a good arch for the hobby. We need to try to weed that out. It might help values and help collectability as time goes on. Number three is add hits or product gimmicks right before release. So do your little sell sheet, which I could argue you should do away with those. You know, and do away with showing pictures of the product before you even release it. I really don't think you have to do all that stuff. Your product should just sell well. You should just be able to sell it because they know what they're going to get, or they know what they're going to, the kind of quality they're going to be able to get. Add hits, you know, we've seen Topps do it with like Blue Wave and Million Card Giveaway is another way. I think we've seen Panini come in there. They've done some like Hall of Fame, win a trip to the Hall of Fame, and there's been some other giveaways associated with that. I don't necessarily know. I know of a way that recently that sometimes things get taken back. I mean, you'll have products that come out, they say 4 hits and you only get 3, things like that. And sometimes that's how they have to incentivize it with some kind of pack redemption. But I think any way you could add value right at the end. I think Upper Deck is doing this probably more than any other – they don't get noticed for it probably because they don't have that many sets. But I often see many Upper Deck sets where it's like originally it was like, oh, you're going to get three autographs. And then right before it comes out, oh, yeah, you're going to get a fourth, or every other box is going to have an extra one. So I think more of that is good. It helps, I think, drive excitement. It helps you temper expectations and then you exceed them. You know you were going to exceed them from the beginning. I think you could do that with a lot of products, is come out and say, hey, it's going to be two autographs a box and, you know, four inserts for $89 a box. And people might be like, oh, you know, just another set. Well, right before it comes out, be like, hey, no, it's going to have four autographs for $89. And you knew the whole time it was going to have four autographs for $89. And then all of a sudden you get that boost right when the product's about to go live, right when people have money in their pockets. Why are you burning your promo right in the beginning when nobody even has a chance to buy your product? You can just save it, announce it as two autographs or no autographs, and then right before the product hits, oh, yeah, it's got four autographs and a redemption for, you know, something cool. So that's what I would do, because that's where you want to create that excitement right at the end. Instead of right in the beginning, you want to just wet the mouth right in the beginning and just make people hungry all the way until it comes out. So that's what good, like companies like Apple try to do that. They do it probably better in the past, but when their products were a little more innovative. So obviously cards is a difficult business. So it's not really a difficult business, but when you're not innovating, it is difficult to make people hungry for your products. Number four, I said offer to buy back the product. I don't know if that's a really good smart business decision if you're sitting at the table of Topps Panini or Upper Deck, because I think you'd be buying back quite a bit of product. But you could have maybe an insert set. I remember like there was a company a while back that was like, oh, if you put together the whole set and it's not worth $100, we'll buy it back. I think Wildcard did that, or I can't remember what company did that. But they made some guarantee where if you put together the whole set and it wasn't worth X amount of dollars, they would just pay you straight up for it. It's probably a good marketing. It's at least the market. People probably see past that these days. But I think you could do something there where you could incentivize it. Hey, go collect the whole set. And if it's not worth this, or if it's not worth your time, we'll buy the cards from you. So I think that might have some legs. I don't know if that was a very good New Year's resolution. That one's kind of hard to execute anyways. Allow the companies, number five, I saw this actually a little bit more this year, maybe a little bit. Allow other companies to advertise in your product. I saw a Panini product with like NBA Beats in it. It was like some basketball game for Xbox or something. And I don't know if that was what it was called, but it was some basketball game for Xbox inside the Panini packs. I've seen other examples. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but I think do that more. If it helps drive down costs or keeps costs down in the long run, do I mind opening up a pack and seeing a Pepsi logo? No. I mean, yeah, it's kind of annoying, but we have those blank white dupe cards. To me, that's just like prime time advertisement real estate that somebody's got to want to buy for something. And so I would keep trying to sell that, because as collectors, we got to accept, hey, you know, that would be great if they could get DirecTV or Yahoo Sports or somebody, the NFL, anybody to put some kind of ad on there, Reebok, Nike, whoever, to put an ad on there. And it helps control the costs of the product. Maybe and maybe some extra stuff can go in there because of that advertisement. So, hey, just another thought. It's pretty easy to implement. Probably just need to make some phone calls there. You just need a sales guy to make some phone calls. That's all it is. You wouldn't even have to hire anybody. You could just do straight commission, like 4% commission or something, and just hire a guy to call AT&T and Verizon and Nike and just call these guys and get money out of them. That's all they have. Number six and my last one is better clear redemption card policy. I know that like the companies have been trying to get better, like their customer service and stuff like that. Like it's really that hard. Like customer service is like when you're making cardboard with guys' photos on it, like it's hard. It's not that hard. And especially redemption cards. I think they still need to put it in the choices that you, the customer, pick. I think I even stressed this here last year. If you've listened to this podcast for over a year, and I think we're in our like fourth year now. You've probably heard me bark up this tree many times, but the company's got to put instead of use the common thread I see on forums and everywhere, and everybody just kind of glosses over it like it's like a problem that just happens in every other industry. But you take a product; it'd be like going back to Target. Let me tell you how redemption cards work when you don't get it back. Or you've been waiting for 8 months. You take it back to the company, and then they give you something else. To me, that goes away from every other. I mean, I was in a story the other day where they'll take a product back anytime, no receipt. So I think you know Nordstrom, I think, is famous for that. You could buy a $5,000 dress, wear it 20 times over 10 years and bring it back, and they're going to give you your money back. I don't know if that's still their policy, but that was their policy. I'm not saying we need to go to that in sports cards. But it'd be like going to Target. You bought a coffee maker, and you used it maybe, and it didn't work, or it malfunctioned, or whatever. It wasn't the coffee maker you thought it was. And you take it back to Target, and then they send a sales associate out on the floor, and they pick a new coffee maker and bring it back to you without you even choosing, without you really even having – that's really how it works. You send in a redemption. It doesn't get fulfilled, and they're like, oh, this is number out of five. Okay, we'll send you this, or we'll send you this. That is totally insane. Like, no wonder there's so many complaints. But all the companies have to do to solve the whole thing is let you decide as a customer. The only thing you could complain about was the options that they give you. And at Target, it's a little bit easier because they'll either give you your money back, or you could go exchange it for equal or lesser value for another, or equal value for another one. So I understand the exchange is different there. But Target would never go send an associate out and go pick a new coffee maker for you. And that's basically what the card companies do when they don't get a redemption card back, or you've been waiting for 8 months and you need a replacement, and they sent, or you get a card number out of five that was dinged up or damaged, or for whatever reason you need to send it back in, they can't replace that one, they need to send you something else. They decide, and that's absolutely insane. Like, absolutely just beyond insane to me that it's been going on for years, and it goes on for years because you have people out there that don't really, I mean, collectors themselves complain about it, but you got to get together and continue. You got to suggest solutions, and that's what I've been trying to do here for obviously a year, but it doesn't go through. They need to let you decide. They need to give you a list. Here's a list. They're coming out. Panini's literally coming out with like 10 products this month. I'm sure some of it's got to sit around in the flat factory. They give away tons of stuff. Panini Tops, everybody gives tons of stuff away on Twitter and Facebook and all those places. They've got to have a way to compensate people. I can understand when the cards get more rare, and if it's a Michael Jordan, or if it's a Tiger Woods or something of that nature, you know, obviously you need to be able to figure out a way to compensate that person with a special collectible, because those kind of collectibles are one of a kind. But still, you still should be able to hook these people up. So hopefully, again, I think I've gone through show number 89. I've seen some improvement there, but the key areas like customer service and taking care of customers is not getting done that well. And that's why the hobby doesn't grow like leaps and bounds. If you think, if you think I can set up a website and in 4 years, 3 or 4 years, have plenty of people listening to a podcast or coming to a website, try to do that in any other business. Try to do it in Apple, trying to put up Apple iPhone reviews or Samsung TV reviews, and you'll get squashed. So, you know, it's not a very competitive business, and that's why these companies, it's like, how can you not be running a great business? Because it's not very competitive, and when you don't push forward, and when you're in a non-competitive business, and you don't go for it, when you don't compete like it is competitive, then you invite competition. So I think I didn't say that very well, but in essence, I'm trying to say, if you don't do a good job and it's a very competitive business, you're going to invite competition. Somebody's going to come in and buy you out, or somebody's going to come in and start doing it better, and you're going to end up getting tossed to the curb. So I think people just need to expect more too. Would you go to Target, return something, and have them choose your replacement item? You would never do that. And if they did, you would never shop there again. So I just think we need to – this is why I don't really buy unopened product. And I think there's a lot of people out there like me that just stick to buying single cards on eBay or check out my cards or wherever. And that's what we do. I'm not – you know, if I do a box break, it's for fun. It's 10, 20 bucks, 50 bucks at the most here and there, you know, maybe once a month. But other than that, I can't do it more than that because it's just too risky with the redemption cards and the – all the other issues you might have when you open up a new product, not to mention the release date and expecting it one day and it becoming, you know, 2 months later when you finally get your cards, just kind of annoying to me. So hopefully as we move in, as we looked back there negatively on 2012, not that all is bad. Man, we have RG3 tearing it up. We got basketball now back with a full season. My San Francisco Giants won the freaking World Series again. And things are good. The Lakers suck. I don't really – it's all good there. I watch so many other NBA teams now that the Lakers don't – wins and losses don't bother me as much as a Bengals win or loss or even the Giants now. But still a fan. Love basketball, obviously. So, but yeah, hopefully, you know, things are good. Maybe that was kind of a negative take on things, but things are moving in the right direction. But you still need to identify. And again, this is not a very competitive business. I mean, Topps is the only one that really makes. I mean, they all make all the different cards, but Topps is the licensed in baseball. Panini's the licensed in basketball, and Topps and Panini are in football, and Upper Deck has high. I mean, it's not that hard. It's not that hard to please customers one way or another. So hopefully, well, we see some improvement there. And hopefully, yeah, we've enjoyed today's podcast. I mean, we're in the 30-minute range. I don't know of anything else that I can talk about. Hopefully, you guys, I know that it's like fantasy football playoff time and right now. And so hopefully you guys are doing well. I wish you guys luck in there. I've got a couple. I'm in a couple myself, including Industry League that has like Mojo Break and a bunch of other websites and blogs and stuff. And All About Cards is on there too. And so so that's fun. And yeah, so hopefully you guys do well in your fantasy. Hopefully everything's going well. We're on the cusp of like – it's like hot stove. We got like guys getting traded and signed. Guys are deciding in baseball where they're going to play next year. So that's really exciting. I know the Giants re-signed some guys. I've heard Zach Greinke's name out there, and I've heard different guys going different places. So that's exciting. I know, like, right when January, like, right when it comes around, everybody starts, you know, hey, when do catchers and pitchers start reporting? So I think that's going to be very exciting as we move into, 2013. It's the start of another baseball season. And baseball is cool because there are so many games, but everybody's got a shot, and there's so many prospects out there. I know my brother's getting out and watching different A-ball prospects out here in the California League. He saw Billy Hamilton last year. Now I see a lot of his cards in products and things like that. So it's interesting to, you know, the guy plays up the street in a area of town you don't really want to be in. And, you know, next thing you know, he's on top of baseball cards, people paying $40 a pop for him. So I think it's fun to see. I'm sure it goes on in your town. So baseball is always a nice, fun journey. I think it's instead of a season, baseball is more of a journey, and it takes many twists and turns. And, you know, hey, when you're a Giants fan, it's all good, obviously, this season. So good luck to your baseball teams next season because you're going to need it because the Giants are going to win it again. And yeah, hey, that's it. Now that I've declared next year's MLB champion, I have no idea who's going to win the basketball, the football, but you know, I can't see that far into the future myself, but I can see far enough to tell that this episode has come to an end. Thank you very much for tuning in today. You can always give me a call and give me my cell phone number. I don't know how many phone calls I'd get, but I think email is probably far more effective. You could send me an email at sportscardshow@gmail.com. You can get at me on Twitter at Sports Card Radio. And you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/sportscardradio or whatever. You can just search it in Google or something. And yeah, those are the ways to reach me for now. I'll probably have other, you know, all the other ways. So thanks for tuning in, everybody. We are out of here.